Darren, Kerry and Sky.
Darren, Kerry and Sky here on East Coast Radio. And you know what? There's no doubting this. It has been a stressful year. Some might even go so far as to say the most stressful year for most people, filled with uncertainty, and we're forced to get used to this new world. Now, many people might not know how to cope with these changes, and they might lead to dependence or the dependence on substances. So joining us this morning is Malcolm Blake from the South Coast Recovery Centre. Good morning, Malcolm.
Hey, Darren. How are you doing, mate?
Lekker, man. Lekker. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Only a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to get to the questions from our listeners. By the way, if you're listening right now and you are having a problem with depression, just not coping, not being able to get your head around the new normal, maybe you're also tending towards substance abuse, then you can leave us a WhatsApp voice note right now.
Yeah, so send that question to 061-792-9495 and you can remain anonymous.
You can't just give us a name. You know, like, so you make it up. Say, hi, I'm Howard Rourke.
Okay.
Stanley Kubrick. Whichever one. But Malcolm Blake is with us on the line right now. As I said, we will get to those questions. But firstly, Malcolm, can you tell us about the South Coast Recovery Centre? What type of people would go there?
Yeah, sure. So South Coast Recovery Centre is a drug and rehabilitation centre that started about 18 years ago from the Cooper family. And the kind of people that would go there would be somebody who's having a problem with drug abuse or alcohol abuse. Now, the nature of it's hard for that person who is the addict to make that decision, because often they'll be in denial. So usually the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous is that we admitted we were powerless over our addiction and that our lives had become unmanageable. So the kinds of people that would come to us, to give you a broad term, would be people who are powerless over their drug use or their alcohol use, and that their lives have become unmanageable. And you can usually see, the family can usually see that bad fruit in that person's life when they can't really see it themselves. So it's, we take in anybody who's having a trouble with addiction and alcohol use, of varying different degrees of severity. Yeah.
Malcolm, good morning. It's Sky Shabalala here. Listen, my question is more of a statement and then a question. Does South Africa have a drinking problem? And the reason I ask that is, you know, when the whole ban was announced initially during the lockdown levels, there's a lot of stockpiling and panic buying. Even a voice note from a gentleman in Krugersdorp kind of got people rushing to the bottle store. So does that like show that this country or the population has a problem when it comes to drinking?
Hmm.
You want the short answer or the long answer?
We got to get into we got to get into traffic.
Like
so,
the medium,
in short,
the medium.
No, I'm just kidding. I would say probably yes and no. I know that sounds contradictory, but the World Health Organization has done quite a lot of research on these things, and I think South Africa has the fifth highest consumption rates in the world not so long ago.
Mm.
So we are very heavy consumers of alcohol. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we also have the highest number of alcoholics, because some people can handle alcohol in a regular kind of normative way, and others can't. And that's where the
there might be other countries that drink more than us, but we tend to binge. The problematic areas with the binging.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely, South Africa is one of the heavier drinkers in the world for sure.
But most people, Malcolm, sorry to interrupt, most people do have their own relationship with alcohol. And as you said, 90% of the cases of people that look for your services have been brought to you. It's friends or family that have identified that this person has a problem. It often takes an alcoholic a while for them to realize that they actually have a problem. So if anyone's listening right now, what are some of the warning signs that you might have a problem? You might have a substance or alcohol problem.
Yeah, so some of the warning signs or some of the telltale signs are you'll start to see, obviously depression is one of the signs.
Mm.
Also a dip in performance in your work and in your daily routine, not sleeping right, those kinds of things. But obviously, if you're working and you're constantly being sick or not being able to perform your duties at work effectively, you know, like just poor performance at work, and also in the family, in the relationships, avoiding relationship duties like seeing family and those kinds of things are good signs that your life is kind of becoming unmanageable due to the use of drinking or drugging. Obviously, also health issues, you know, like if you were doing certain types of drugs that prevent you from eating properly, there'll be, you know, the body will be atrophying basically, the muscles. You'll be getting skinnier and more gaunt looking and more susceptible to sickness and those kinds of things. So,
Malcolm, got a question here from Stonewall Sitole. Says, hi, I would like to remain anonymous, hence the Stonewall Sitole. I've been addicted to heroin for many years, but I have been clean for a number of years as well as after joining regular NA meetings. I found it very hard to be part of the community during lockdown. What is your advice when it comes to remaining part of the community while being isolated?
Oh, it's good. Yeah.
Ooh. Amazing question. Yeah. Sure. That was one of the biggest concerns we've had during this whole time as well. It's such a difficult time for addicts because isolation is one of the biggest problems for an addict. We love to isolate because it means we can get away with doing what we want to do, you know. So it's a very severe enemy of addiction, of wanting to fight addiction. So luckily the community has got on board with a lot of online groups and support groups that are numerous. They're all over the internet, and the only troublesome thing is that, you know, you can't really replace the fellowship of conversation of people sitting in the groups together than with an internet connection and a screen. You know, it doesn't really fill the gap, but it does help. So those online chat groups, which popped up quite quickly in the beginning, like even around March and January, March, April, there are a lot of those. A lot of groups like HEAL and NA and AA have multiple platforms to reach the addict on the internet. And they've worked very well through Zoom mostly. But others have used Skype and those sorts of things as well.
So this one comes from, we're going to say, Helen Keller. My son has been addicted to a drug that I do not want to mention, but we do not want to send him to a facility because we're afraid that he commits to committing a crime, and that crime being the purchase of those drugs. Any advice?
Yeah. Good question. I would not let the fact that there's a crime element involved stop you from coming to treatment. Even the law will allow an addict to come into treatment while there are pending cases against them, so that they may get the treatment and then they can meter out the law process thereafter. Mm. We've taken in quite a lot of people over the years that have had some pretty bad criminal charges laid against them, but they come into treatment and we treat them, and then we deal with that process with the law throughout their stay here. I can't really speak, I'm not really qualified to speak about the more finer details about that, but we have lawyers in our facility. One of them is actually one of our counselors as well.
Got a question here from Danny Ings Credible. I enjoy some weed with my wife about 3 times a week. I don't feel the urge to move on to something stronger. In your professional opinion, how good or bad is the influence of marijuana?
Sure. Yeah, that's an amazing question. It's very difficult. I've got to be very careful to answer this one because I think our residents might be listening to this interview. Mm. I'll have to relate it to myself, my own personal journey. Marijuana was never my problem child, so to speak. I was into cocaine and sort of the uppers, the stronger chemical powders and things like that, and the party scene, which grew out of hand. And I never thought I had a problem with marijuana. And when I realized, when I was trying to quit in my own right without going to treatment, I mistakenly thought that if I stepped down to marijuana from my hardcore drugs, which is how I thought in my mind, that I'd have an easier time and I'd be able to get over my main drug, which were the uppers and the strong like powder drugs. But that didn't work out very well because the process of addiction just played itself out in that substance for me, you know. I stopped doing the other thing for a little while, but then it just progressively got worse and worse. The quantities got more and more. I had to get stronger and stronger strains. I had to buy more and more and more. And eventually I was just spending more money on that substance than I was before. And I know we don't have too much time. I love to talk about this subject. There's so much interest here, and it's such a good debate to have.
Well, we will have time. We can come back at another time and revisit this one. But I hear what you're saying because you know I also had a history with substance abuse, and it was more the coke and the MDMA and the jammies that was the problem. And I do know myself. I know a lot of people who have. Not necessarily through the smoking of marijuana, but have been able to find sort of like processed CBD and THC that has helped them more as a therapeutic than as a substance for abuse. Have you heard of those as well?
Yeah, definitely. So the medical use of the CBD, there's still, I think there's quite a lot of support for it. Helping in terms of people having anxiety and depression and other psychological issues.
Yeah.
I'm not in any way qualified to speak about those things from a psychological perspective, but from a recreational perspective, using the THC molecule for fun to get high is very dangerous.
Yeah.
Just to give you a bit of...
Actually, Malcolm, we've run out of time, but we have your number. We are going to come back to you with this one. And I hope the questions that Malcolm has answered have helped you so far. I think support and reaching out is the first step, is the most important step. That was Malcolm Blake from the South Coast Recovery Center, who joined us this morning to talk about addiction and depression and drug and alcohol abuse. And for any more details or any more questions, and if you want to reach out right now, it's the South Coast Recovery Center. Thank you, Malcolm.
Darren, Carrie and Skye.